Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Tim Glemkowski. Tim has been our guest so far this week, and his programs Monday and Tuesday, if you didn't have a chance to hear them, are on our archive at our website at renewalministries.net. I'd encourage you to go. Tim began the week really sharing his testimony, his story the first 2 days and his journey as a young disciple in conversion. And we're going to pick up where it left off, but it's led into a very dynamic ministry that I hope we'll touch on before the program's over. But welcome back, Tim.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, thanks for when I get to go back and write my memoirs, I'm just going to get to go back and listen to those first couple episodes. To remember what that growth was like. Yeah.
No, I'm so glad we started there because it's important to hear. It's important for people to be able to hear, like, how does a young man like you get so passionate about working for the church and working in the church and doing it as a married man? And why does it matter so much to you such that you have other opportunities and other things in your life you thought about, but the Lord captured you and now you're running in Him and God's using you and doing wonderful things in your life? So let's pick up where we left off yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that's it. Because I experienced such a 180 conversion moment, I think there was always, like, there's that line from that Come to the Water song, like, why should you spend your life except for the Lord? And I just began to burn in me, that idea. And so at first, I mentioned yesterday, I interpreted that as a potential call to the priesthood. You know, and I think the calls have been to do something heroic and great with my life, and really interpreted that through that lens. And, you know, through the help of some great spiritual directors, when I actually took a year in seminary at Mundelein in Chicago and was able to discern that, no, in fact, I was called to marriage. And then following that, kind of came out here to Ann Arbor, actually, to teach high school theology for 3 years at Father Gabriel Richard here in Ann Arbor, which were amazing years. Like, in some ways, teaching is probably the thing, probably I feel so comfortable in that role. Like, that's really, I love the intellectual side of the church. I got my master's in theology during that time from the Augustine Institute. Like, really love handing that over. But throughout that time, began to experience kind of this gradual, like, came to recognize what I feel like the Holy Spirit is doing in the church right now, which is bringing the new evangelization to parish life. Like, I think in many ways, this is probably a generalization, but a lot of the new evangelization efforts have flourished almost outside of the parochial structure, you know, like
in movement, lay movements and things like
that. Lay movements, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but in not everywhere, but in many places, like the normative parish experience, which is the experience for 95% of Catholics, like kind of the more institutional church, hasn't necessarily broken in through there all the way, where we're still working kind of this institutional model. Because that's really the call of the new evangelization, right? Is we're, you know, there's a current contemporary cultural crisis that needs to be met with an energy and a new evangelization that kind of matches like the one that first, you know, evangelized pagan Rome. And so began to experience. So there was a convocation here of a bunch of different leaders in from parishes and schools in the Diocese of Lansing that really was focused on that parish renewal. And I began to read books like Forming Intentional Disciples from Sherry Waddell and Divine Renovation from Father James Mallon and Evangelical Catholicism from George Weigel. And I almost started to feel like maybe what people must have felt like, you know, in the 80s when they were seeing what was happening with like computers and Apple and all this stuff, where it was like, this is it. Like, this is where it's going. You know, the project of the next 50 years. You know, in Archbishop Vigneron's letter to the Archdiocese of Detroit about, you know, kind of how they're going to begin to implement some of these ideas into parish life, he said, this is the project of the next 100 years. Like, this is not the newest craze for kind of parish life for, you know, we're just going to kind of all call ourselves discipleship-oriented parishes for the next 5 years and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, like, it's not like just slapping up a label and saying, this is who we are, but we're trying to, I thought you put it so well, you know, there's a wider cultural crisis that has happened. As the recent popes have talked about, there's been a kind of serious turning away from God. The culture has become more secularized.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people are insisting on life apart from God or reference to God. They want it out of the public square, those kinds of things. So the church I grew up in when I was a little kid was kind of the center of life in the small town I was in, and that was kind of the place to be. People just went to church because that's what everybody does. Everybody goes to church,
right?
Pretty much. Not everybody, but, you know, it was close. And it was, the church has come out of really centuries of a maintenance mode in the best sense of that term institutionally. Like, she's maintaining the pastoral life and maintaining the cultural Catholic life that she had because everybody was coming to the church. People getting baptized, married, big Catholic schools bursting at the seams, and all of it's there. And there is a kind of discipleship that was happening in that context. But now that's all changed. And here you are, you're a millennial, right? And
the much maligned millennial generation.
Yeah, who we love dearly. But I think the sort of the cultural crisis began with my generation, with the boomers, and but I think it's most explicitly being, sort of its logical conclusion is being revealed in the millennials, where you have all kinds of millennials feeling completely free of just disconnecting from God, disconnecting from the church, kind of creating their own pathway. And then in the midst of it, what I see is people like you. I see all these millennials that something big's happening in you, like something apostolic, something brand new, something that really is a living witness. It's got courage, it's got dynamism, it's got passion, it's got intelligence, it's got all of that, which is one of the reasons I love interviewing guys like you, because I want our listeners to be able to hear and to be able to see in the spirit God's response to the time we're living in.
Yeah.
You know? And you're a part of that, you know, in a very real way. So as you were a high school teacher, so your sword got sharpened as a teacher.
Yeah.
You got your MA, so you just got sharper and sharper about why do we believe what we believe. And then what happened?
So I actually ended up taking a job then in Denver, north of Denver, Colorado, as a director of evangelization and catechesis, feeling like I got to get in and these ideas that are running around in my head, you know, can parishes actually become these hubs for discipleship? I was like, I gotta figure out if that's possible, you know?
Yeah.
And so took a job there, and we weren't there very long actually, because we had a very providential incident. Basically was called up and offered a job in this crazy set of circumstances at my home parish in Batavia, Illinois. My wife did mission work in Africa right after college, and we both kind of have had, this is what we're going to give a talk at ID916. We both have really kind of experienced this call to do great things with our lives, and have wanted to live our married life reflective of that desire. Like what our images were necessarily, what that needed to look like, priesthood or foreign missions, hasn't necessarily been born on our vocational calling. But how do we still bring that radical kind of Abrahamic sense for our family, where it's like, wherever you're going to send us, Lord, like we're going to go. And so we felt called to come back to the Chicagoland area. And that was when finally, now having had some parish experience, I'm working in another parish, and then looking at our local area and really began to just grow in prayer. It was really just something the Lord was putting on my heart, to grow a love for the three dioceses in our local area, the Archdiocese of Chicago, Diocese of Joliet, and Rockford, to work closely with parishes to kind of walk them through this process. Because what I was beginning to see was even talking to pastors who wanted this kind of cultural change to happen at their parish, but didn't like quite know how, or even if they did, you know, they've read the book, they have Divine Renovation, like they know what they need to do. There were all these roadblocks or obstacles that they couldn't quite get over in their parish. And so the idea became, I think in some ways had seen the great impact that could be made by lay movements and by even, you know, lay people taking up that call to form a not-for-profit and to begin to reach out to a wider church instead of just working in the one parish. And so a year ago, we launched L'Alto Catholic Institute with that aim. We do some parish missions. We do a series called The School of Prayer, which is kind of teaching the fundamentals of a prayer life to lay Catholics. And we were really inspired by the work that the Institute for Priestly Formation in Omaha, IPF, has done for priests in terms of doing spiritual formation, and felt the same thing was necessary for lay Catholics to really, I said yesterday, a big moment for me was encountering the writings of John of the Cross and beginning to desire a love for prayer. So could we reiterate the same thing? And then the big project, though, the core of our movement is something we call a parish partnership, which is like a nine-month, the word we use is an accompanying relationship. Mm-hmm. Some people want to use the word consulting, but I like the word accompaniment. What our goal is not to just like, you know, if a parish is down in a hole, and you're right, the maintenance mode parish made sense in the Counter-Reformation world. Like it fit the cultural context of the time. But if it's not the right, you know, mousetrap for our current cultural context, or at least that maintenance mode way of looking at it, we don't want to just shout instructions down into a well at a parish to say, like, here's how to get out. We kind of want to hop down with them and be like, we're going to help figure this out together. So that's kind of our core project, is that parish partnership, to really work closely with just a few parishes at a time. You know, you're really devoting a considerable amount of energy and resources and attention to them and in our local area, walking them through that.
Very good. So you've been at it for how long?
So we were founded about a year ago.
Okay.
And I expected to continue to work my full-time job at a parish, and then to do this on the side for a few years. At our first board meeting, they asked me, like, do you have a plan to go full time in a year? And I said, that's never going to happen. I'm here at this parish for at least 3 years. But, you know, tell the Lord your plans, right?
Right.
And by the summer, this past summer, by about June, it became very clear based on the interest that we were receiving, particularly in that parish partnership, which is a more time intensive project, that it was going to mean either basically I was never going to see my family or I needed to go full time. And so it was a very busy last 6 months, actually, basically doing the two full time jobs in my parish and then running Lalto. But and one of the big kind of stories there, one of the big, great glory stories is as a not-for-profit, you know, we need to raise some of our budget. And that was a big fear point for me. You know, like I have two, I had one kid at the time and another one due in November, who's now born, Theo, our son. And I'm thinking, like, I can't just go and be full, you know, domestic missionary fundraising our family's, you know, livelihood. Like, that's not something I'm comfortable with. And so I was kind of clinging to that job almost in some ways as like my way of securing our financial future. And it really came down to, you know, can I trust the Lord to take care of us? And it's always that question of sonship. Like, is God my father or not? Like, is he going to take care of me? Do I believe that he's going to take care of me? And I hadn't had a single dollar fundraised. But I felt the Lord kind of almost, I'm going to jump off the high dive and hope he puts some water in the pool on the way down. So I told my pastor, I said, I think the Lord's calling me. I think I need to leave this job in December. And after that, our entire 2018 fundraising goal was met within 2 weeks after I made that decision. I mean, it was just one of those moments that was absolutely just a confirmation that this is something that the Lord is doing. And you just needed to trust me enough to open the floodgates. Yeah. And I'd been beating my head against the wall, trying to drum up interest in our organization, find owners and all that stuff. And so that's now this is my full-time project. My full-time work is with Lalto Catholic Institute. And part of what we're discerning now, our movement is we have that emphasis on local renewal led by local leaders. And we've been reached out to now by a handful of other leaders around the country, really talented evangelists who have said, basically, what you've started has provided a format for something that's been burning on my heart for a while. Can I bring your mission to, like, can I plant a Lalto Catholic Institute chapter in my local area and replicate what you're doing in the local area for us? So that's kind of even the next step of this journey. So it's been amazing to watch, like, it's the loaves and fishes. Like, we've just given the Lord just an inch and he's taken a mile. So it's been amazing.
Yeah. And it's a seed. The Lord planted a seed in you. And it goes all the way back. I mean, he planned this before you were born, in a certain way. You know what I mean? He designed you. He called you. And then along the way, you encountered him. Wonderful story you said at the beginning of the week. And friends, if you didn't get a chance to hear Tim's story on Monday and Tuesday, go to our website at renewalministries.net. It's archived there. You'll really, I think, be very inspired by his story. But then it began with an encounter, then with a yes. And you kept saying yes, and you kept going deeper. And every step of the way, there's a little bit of a risk. You know, because when you make a decision to go one way on a road, other doors, you have to shut other doors.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then the Lord builds trust in you. You know, you start to trust him more. You start to believe there's some fruit bearing. And then it gets bigger and bigger, the decisions to say, wow, now I've got this dream in my heart. Something like Lalto that I really think is from the Lord. And look around, is everybody telling me it's from the Lord? No, I'm getting it from the Lord in my heart. Do I believe in it enough? Do I believe in him? And do Maggie and I together believe that we're going to step out and we're going to trust God? We've discerned this, and now I'm going to live the kind of faith the Lord loves, the kind of faith that's spelled R-I-S-K. You know, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that's friends who are listening. This is the kind of life the Lord wants for all of us. Not everybody to leave their job and go full-time, but to have a kind of relationship of trust with the Father in Jesus, knowing he's calling you to mission. That's not an open question. He's absolutely calling you to that, and he wants you to respond with this kind of faith. Hope you can tune in tomorrow. Tim's going to bring us some more of what God's been doing in his life. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. We can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.